Have your Bibles, look with me to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. First missionary journey, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas and John Mark went on. They went to the island of Cyprus. They spoke in a couple of places there, and then they traveled to Asia Minor. John Mark returned to Jerusalem. We find out later that there was a contention between Paul and Barnabas over that. And Barnabas took John Mark with him. We're glad to find later in the Bible that Paul said, "Send John Mark, for he is profitable for the ministry." It was not a falling out, but some disagreement there about his returning. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 42, these missionaries have traveled north toward the Taurus Mountains. This is the trade route that would go to Galatia. And they're south of that. There are Greek colonies here among Asia Minor, which is today a part of Turkey. And on the coast area, there were pirates. Historians tell us there were bands of robbers in the mountains, and there were pirates along the coast. But Rome had brought some law and order to these areas by setting up outposts of the military in these places, which is like the forerunner of our police departments today. And so Paul led in the missionary journey here to go to Antioch of Pisidia. That's 3,600 foot elevation, I read, and Paul has come here possibly because it is both a Roman colony and he is a Roman citizen, and because there is a synagogue of the Jews where he would have an audience to preach to his Jewish brethren about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we look at chapter 13 today in verse number 42. I want to read a few verses. "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, we ask for your help, your guidance and direction. Pray the Holy Spirit will have liberty to work in our hearts here today. Help us to put aside the cares of this world and for a few moments focus and listen to hear God speak through his word today to our hearts. Pray for your people to be fed and for anyone who is unsaved to be saved. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, Paul never shunned away from adversity and trouble in carrying the gospel. He faced, you know the story, it's given to us in the scriptures, how he was beaten so many times and imprisoned so many times and actually even stoned and left for dead on one occasion. He suffered shipwreck and was in the ocean because of the traveling. He had the perils of robbers and perils from his own people who turned against him. And so he went directly with an urgency to carry the gospel message of Jesus Christ to the people no matter the circumstance. And here they're traveling to this area that had been known from the world of that day as being a place of problems and trouble and robbers and all these things. Paul is like the missionary in Canada who I read about, who went to a remote area in the mountains in Canada, and he came to a home and there was a sign on the gate that said "no trespassing" and another sign that said "beware of the dog." And so he entered the property and went up to the front door, and the dog came out growling at him, and he was watching the dog, and he knocked on the door, and before he actually even got to the front door of the house, the little gate that barred it, a woman came out with a shotgun, and she said, "Can't you read?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I can." And she said, "It says no trespassing." And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I just came to give you something from the church and wanted to invite you to come." And she said, "Didn't you see the sign about that dog?" He said, "Ma'am, I haven't seen anything but that dog since I came into your yard." And she said, "That dog killed a bear yesterday." And she said, "He's here to protect me because my husband is away." And so the minister gave her the gospel and gave her the literature, and he eased his way back out, and someone questioned about why in the world would you go up there after the signs and all that. He said, if I had backed down there, I'd back down from a lot of other difficult circumstances. And the Apostle Paul didn't back down when he took the gospel from one place to the next, regardless of how he was received. But there is a major transition that takes place in this message today that we see. Now, the apostle has come here and preached in the synagogue, and he has a reception from the people. They have listened to the message of Jesus Christ being the Messiah, of dying and rising again from the dead, the hope of salvation, the way of justification from sin through the grace of God, doing what the law could not do. Christ could take sins away forever and forever. And the people heard this message, and they're willing to hear him again as he expounds the next Sabbath day. The Gentile proselytes, who the Jews would be separated from by a wall of partition, but they would teach them what the true God is about of heaven, and teach them about the Old Testament scriptures, and they would make converts of them to the Jewish faith. They have heard this message, and they ask Paul to come back on the next Sabbath day and directly speak with them and give them this message. And so as the meeting breaks up and they depart, the Bible tells us in verse number 42, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul. They desired to hear more. They went with him as he walked away. They wanted to talk more. They wanted to hear more. This message has excited them. This is a message of hope about forgiveness of sins and the method of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And apparently this message is very new to these people here in this region, and they're anxious to hear what the apostle has to say. You know, they didn't have the cable TV and smartphones and newspapers and all of that sort of thing in that day and time. I mean, somebody bringing news of something new into a community, people were anxious to hear what they had to say. Some of you old folks here like me remember when television first came out, and how when you'd go downtown to the hardware store or something, and there would be a place on Main Street that sold televisions, and they'd have that little black and white with a cabinet big as this pulpit up here and a screen about that big around. People would stand out on the street and watch that picture, you know. They'd watch the test pattern waiting for something to come on. And it would come on. I Love Lucy, you know, or something like that would come on. Some of those early shows that were on TV. And people were anxious to see that, anxious to hear that, anxious to get something they'd never seen or heard before. And Paul's bringing news like that, a message of hope and a message of blessing and a message that is available to all men who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Gentiles especially are anxious to hear about that, that the message is available to them. Verse number 44 tells us on the next Sabbath day, this message of hope and forgiveness and salvation has caused almost the whole town to turn out to hear. The word spread through the town for a week that this man, this rabbi who's visiting, passing through, has a message that you need to hear. And boy, everybody has come out to hear him speak. Bible preaching is what God has ordained to save the unsaved world. It is through the foolishness of preaching that God has chosen to save them that believe. Every great revival can be traced back to both prayer and preaching, where people were on their face before God, begging God for the power of God to do something, and people were preaching the Word of God, and the people were saved and changed, and things took place sometimes in cities years ago when they'd have the old tabernacles built and evangelists would come and stay for a month or 6 weeks at a time and preach the gospel every day, and people would get saved, and liquor stores would close down, and thieves would repent, and women who walked the street would get saved and change their life and become a mother and a wife, and God would do a work in an entire city as a result of prayer and preaching of the Word of God. And Paul is here preaching a message of hope that has moved this synagogue of people, both Jew and Gentile, to want to hear this message that he is bringing. The message is spread, breaking down barriers between the Jew and the Gentile. Christ broke down the barrier. The temple where the holy place is had a giant curtain that separated where no one could go into the Holy of Holies except the high priest, and then only to offer the blood as a sacrifice for their sins. And that veil, that curtain was torn in two, the Bible says, from the top to the bottom when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross. It made access to God available for any man who'd come through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus taught that the wall of separation between Jew and Gentile is broken down in Christ. They're not to be separated any longer. Any man of any race and any creed can be saved if he comes through Jesus Christ. And there's to be no barrier between us. And these are getting a glimpse of that in this city, and they're all coming out from this city, Jew and Gentile, to hear the Word of God, the message of hope. We're coming up on Christmas in just a few weeks, and we've got our banquet tonight at 6 o'clock. And this is a time of remembrance and rejoicing of the hope we have, because Christ came. And our rejoicing is not just that there was a babe in a manger, but that babe came to die in our place and paid for our sins. And salvation has come in the birth of Jesus Christ upon this earth. And it is death, burial, and resurrection on Calvary's cross. We forget sometimes why we come to church. Certainly families come because they want something to minister to their children. They want them to be taught the Bible and have a place where they learn what you have learned when you were young growing up in Sunday school and that sort of thing. And churches develop ministries to various age groups within the church, a teen department, a youth program, and all those things are good. There's nothing wrong with folks wanting that for their children and for families. But the focus of the church, the reason we come and why we're here, should always be centered around how we handle the Word of God. The teaching and the preaching of the Word of God is supreme above everything else. It is more important than all the secondary issues that the church is involved with. How does it handle the Bible? What is its doctrinal teaching? Is it straight on its belief about the Word of God and the person of Jesus Christ and that salvation is in Him and in Him alone? Those things are primary and most important. Turn over with me in your Bibles real quickly. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Just look at a couple of verses. Paul, writing to Timothy, a young minister, said in 2 Timothy 3, 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. For this sort are they that creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." The facade and appearance of religion without really knowing Christ as Savior and having a changed life. There is the danger in these latter days. Look at chapter 4 as he continues in chapter 4 what needs to be done. He said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." The time of people rejecting the Word of God and assembling under teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. what is popular, what they think meets their needs, not just what does God say, but what it is that I want to hear. There's a church out in California that became a leader among denomination of churches. And that church went out and did a survey in the community and asked what they wanted. And they took what those people wanted and built a church around meeting what the needs of people wanted. We're talking about unsaved people telling the church how to operate. And that's not biblical, my friends. It's a mandate that we preach the Word of God and let the chips fall where they may. It steps on my toes just as much as it steps on your toes. There's some passages of Scripture I wish I didn't have to listen to that rebuke me and call me to repentance and drive me to my knees before God to humble myself because I'm not in line with what the Bible is teaching. And it's important we never forget that. And just like Paul was going to preach the truth whether the crowd wanted to hear it or not, and we're about to see the result of that. This crowd on this day causes the envy of the Jewish people. The Bible tells us in verse 45, "But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Now it appears that they were ready to hear Paul on the second Sabbath day until they saw the great crowd that has gathered that want to hear what the message of salvation is all about. And so with envy, the Bible says, that Greek word zealous or zealous is also translated indignation in a couple of other passages. When Jesus was put to death because of indignation of the Jews against him, because of the crowds, they were jealous, they were envious, they had indignation against him because of the following of the people, and they accused him of leading them astray. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 17, when the apostles were preaching and teaching and healing the sick, and multitudes began to gather, the Jews became envious, the Bible says in Acts 5, 17, that with indignation against the apostles was the high priest and the Sadducees. The same word is used here that is translated envy. So these people see the crowd and they get upset about that. They had heard the message, and now they've gathered together to hear him again. But when they see the multitude of people that have come out to hear the apostle, they are envious of this and they have indignation against this. And they get stirred up and try to break up the congregation that has gathered together. Now back in verse 40 and 41, when Paul preached to them on the first Sabbath day, he warned them about rejecting the message of Jesus Christ. He said, "Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." He warned them about rejecting the message of Jesus Christ. That would be a problem that the Jewish people had done in Jesus' day and are still doing in Paul's day now. Rejecting the Lord and the message of salvation. Who knows how many opportunities a person might have to be saved. This might be the last opportunity that many of these will have. The Bible speaks in a passage of Scripture as Jesus was going to the cross on that last time as he passed through certain cities. The Bible speaks about some who got saved and it said Jesus passed by. They didn't know it, but that was the last time Jesus was going to pass by their street. The last time he was going to pass through their city because he was going to Jerusalem to die on Calvary's cross. And every time we give an invitation, and every time we give out the gospel, and every time we appeal to someone to come and receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we have no way to know if there'll ever be another opportunity or not. I sat and talked with a man on my job. I'm thankful to tell you that he was a believer. Not because of me, but he was already a believer. And we shared and we talked. He got to feeling bad and he got in the truck for them to take him home. He didn't want to go to the hospital, didn't want to go to the doctor. He wanted them just to take him home. He felt sick. And when he got back to about Gaffney, South Carolina, and they stopped at the stop sign, he just fell over on the guy driving the truck. He was dead. You don't know, friends. None of us know what a day is going to bring forth. And it's imperative that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that prepares us for the time of death that we face. It guarantees us a home in heaven. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Looking for Jesus to come to take us to that heavenly home that He's prepared for us. It's one thing for people to be confused about the message. It's one thing for people not to understand fully about Jesus and His death, burial, resurrection, and their faith that is required to be saved. There's people who don't understand that. They come from a different background. Unlike you, they haven't been taught about the Bible and Christ from the time of childhood, and they don't know what you know, and they're confused about the message. One thing to have that, but it's a totally different thing for the Jews who clearly heard, clearly understood, had the Apostle Paul explain the message, and they rejected it on purpose. Oh, there's a great danger here. And Paul warned them about the danger. This forces the missionaries to make a major decision to turn away from speaking at the synagogues and to turn to the Gentile nations of people. The message of salvation, God has closed the door with His Jewish synagogue, but He has opened the door for Paul and Barnabas to go to the Gentile people. Look down at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. This major transitional thing of they turning away from the Jewish synagogues and turning to the Gentile nations of people was God's plan to spread the gospel to the Gentile nations. It came to the Jew first, which is God's plan, Romans 1 and verse number 16. But when the Jews rejected it, the gospel message was open to the Gentile nations of people. He quoted from Isaiah 49:6, where Christ is to be the light of the Gentiles. He is not only the Messiah of the Jews, He's the light of the world, my friends. For everyone who will believe on Him, we receive everlasting life. Romans 10:11 through 13 says, there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Gentiles' response to this, of course, is great gladness, and they glorify the Word of God. If the Jews of the synagogue had believed this message, they could have been vital tools to evangelize the Gentile proselytes who were already coming to learn about the true God of heaven. But they rejected the message. And now the apostles turn away from the synagogue and turn to the Jewish nation, or turn to the Gentile nations. Now the Gentile nations far, far exceed in population the tiny nation of Israel and its population. And the message finds reception among the Gentiles, and the message spreads and churches are established throughout the then known world. The church turns from being a Jewish thing to becoming a Gentile bride of the bridegroom. There's an Old Testament passage for that, isn't there? Acts 15:12 through 19, the council at Jerusalem sees that God chose to take out of among these people a church for Himself. Ruth in the Old Testament was a Gentile, and she came with Naomi back to Israel to help her and to meet her needs. And I love that story. The Bible says it was her hap that she went into a field that was owned by Boaz. Boaz was a near kinsman of Naomi. And when they found her there gleaning in the strippings of leftovers behind the reapers, which widows could do and travelers could do, even though she was a Gentile, they saw her as a woman of character. And they helped her. And Boaz says, you young men, don't touch her. You drop some handfuls on purpose for her. My friend, it's our hap to be here today. It's not happenstance, it's the providence of God that we're here. And it was the providence of God that she came to that field. And Boaz became the kinsman redeemer, one related to her who bought them out of their calamity and married Ruth and raised up a lineage that went directly to David the king. God has been so merciful to us that He has opened the gospel message to whosoever will may be saved. Now that doesn't surprise God. There's not one person that gets saved that God says, "Wow, I didn't know that would happen." He has foreknowledge. He knew before the foundation of the world your name and my name. And our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God has made the gospel available for all who will believe. But God knows exactly who will believe. And Paul's message here that day didn't take God by surprise. Those who believed were saved, and that is God's predetermined will that for everyone who believes on Jesus Christ to receive everlasting life. And God in His foreknowledge knows who every one of those people are. But you and I don't. So our commission is to preach the gospel to every creature, to share the message and make disciples of all nations that the message might spread. Now back in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, you remember the disciples when they went into the cities to preach, Jesus told them, if you come to a house and it is worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if it is unworthy, let your peace return to you. And if they reject your message, to shake off the dust of your feet. And He said it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will for those cities that reject the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Barnabas and Saul shook off the dust of their feet after this synagogue rejected their message. He had warned them about rejecting, and now He shakes the dust off His feet. My friend, don't ever come to that point in your life if you're not saved. Don't stand up and willfully reject the gospel message of Jesus Christ. It's the good news, the glad tidings of how you can have your sins forgiven and receive everlasting life through Jesus Christ. Be ready to receive that message. Be anxious to escape hell and judgment that will come in the future. Today you can come to Christ and be saved. He offers, whosoever will may come. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed.